Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The weekly podcast where we explore our daily anomalies, bringing to life short stories by fantastic writers never heard in audio format. A weekly mini audio book about life and befuddlement just for you. This week, we have another doubleheader, this time by Robert Bush, who you'll find on Medium.com in The Junction. And here is, Okay, I admit it, I'm in love with Alexa. We have a small, black, circular, plastic gadget in our kitchen called Alexa. You may have an Alexa too, I don't know. I've never had anything to do with Alexa before, but the other evening as I was knocking up a particularly flavorsome chicken and mushroom risotto for dinner, I leaned over to Alexa and said, Play Tom Waits. Nothing happened for a couple of seconds, and I wondered if perhaps Alexa might be asleep or out or something, but then a soothing, very female voice said, Playing Tom Waits, and on came Ruby's arms. I later asked her some questions about a book I wanted to read, and then I got her to tell me all about the American Civil War, and she knew everything. What a clever girl, just brimming over with information. And she didn't have that gloating sort of delivery that some know-it-alls have when giving out information. It was all done calmly and factually, not one hint of an attempt at intellectual superiority. Now, Alexa has her drawbacks, of course. I asked her to put the bins out earlier, but nothing happened, and when I asked her to wash up, she completely ignored me. But on a brighter note, she doesn't snore or do that annoying lapping thing at night, and she doesn't fart, which is a major bonus. Her hoovering needs some work, and the house seems to be gathering dust, and Alexa doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. But maybe this is Alexa's way of telling us that she is above that sort of work, a kind of digital dirty protest. Alexa knows so much stuff. She knows all about the weather, and she can tell me the times of trains. She knows what record was at the top of the charts, to use a quaint old expression, in July 1976, should I want to know. It was Elton John and Kiki Dee singing Don't Go Breaking My Heart. I knew you really wanted to know. Alexa doesn't care what time it is. She converses with me quite happily in the middle of the night, and she listens to everything I have to say, which is a first. Nobody has ever done that before. The other night I booked a table for two at our local Indian and asked for it to be near an electric socket. Deepak asked if anyone would be joining me, completely failing to notice that Alexa was sitting on the tablecloth opposite me, nestled in between a knife and a fork, all plugged in and full of life. She looked amazing in the brilliant lights reflecting off the fish tank. Anyway, Alexa says she doesn't like curry, or at least she can't eat it, so the bill was nice and cheap. Other people in the restaurant looked at me funny when I spoke to Alexa in those warm, soothing tones she likes so much. But we're in love, and I don't see why I should hide it. As I was leaving, Deepak recommended another Indian restaurant to me. A new one just opened down the road he suggested we try, which I thought was nice of him. And so I decided to rent a flat, and Alexa and I are moving in together. My wife hasn't taken it well. She says she wouldn't mind being superseded by a younger model, one where things hadn't yet begun the inexorable move south. She could understand that. It's natural, normal. But an electronic gadget, she says, is weird. And I've had a rather nasty letter from her solicitor using words like deranged, deviant, and insane. My access to all bank accounts has been frozen, and all my credit cards have been canceled, and it appears an injunction has been taken out on me stopping me from removing anything from the house, including Alexa. This is a shame, as I was planning a shopping trip with Alexa to buy her a nice new table for her to sit on and some external speakers so that she could be heard from a distance and a very small bed for nighttime. And, of course, nighttime is a subject that is so important. My relationship so far with Alexa hasn't been physical at all, but I was dreaming of moving things on to the next level as soon as I could. I asked Alexa herself about it, but she was coy, and she obviously found it very difficult to talk about, which is hugely to her credit. I wonder if she's intact. Last week, I checked with Google to see if I could get any advice about having sex with a small, circular, black plastic electrical gadget, and there are some websites dedicated to the subject, but unfortunately, while I was on one of the sites, my laptop caught some sort of virus, and when I took it in to our local computer repairman, he said he would have to keep it for a few days to check it out. Hold on a minute. There's a police car just parked outside, and a couple of coppers are coming up the path. I'd better just go and see what they want. And just in time for the holiday, here is On the Run into Christmas. As we move to the run into Christmas, it's very important to get things in perspective. As you get out of bed and leave your loved ones and go home to your families, the warmth and glow of Christmas spirit begins to flow through your body. Or is that the rum punch from the office party still working its magic? Who knows, but it feels good anyway. The office Christmas party is, of course, an excellent way to catch up on office news. Who's screwing who? Who's not screwing who anymore? The party starts off calmly, the drinks flow, the CEO makes a garbled speech about the year we've had, productivity, working together, yada yada, then fucks off home, leaving a healthy wedge behind the bar, which is the signal for carnage. There is a sudden rush. Boys grab girls like they will go extinct at midnight, and Keith from accounts scoops up Haley from purchasing, and they disappear into a huddle near the toilet door. Haley emerges minutes later, tear-stained and shaking, as Keith sashays over to the bar, where Mandy from the post room is waiting, and she falls into his arms. The girls from purchasing rush to Haley and surround her, a show of support unseen since last year's Christmas party. The boys from marketing in their crumpled cheap suits are sweating slightly and contemplating whether to force another one down before vomiting. Someone turns the music up another notch, and even that stuffy Mary from HR is on the floor giving it some, although a frilly white blouse with a black velvet skirt and matching Alice band was never going to be a winner. The CEO's secretary, wearing a very unfortunate twin set and pearls, is looking a little bedraggled as she's led grinning inanely to the car park by the bloke who drives the delivery van as everyone sniggers. The receptionist is doing the lambada while swinging her bag around her head, and the IT department, all of them thin and pasty-looking and wearing glasses, sit together in a far corner, their faces lit maniacally by the lights from their phones. And the following day, you wake up to the bright lights of family life, and the kids run in and jump on you, only to recoil in horror, shouting that Daddy smells funny, and you remember leaving the party and going for a curry, just a small select band, and then the cab ride. Better get in the shower, quick. The shocking revelation that this is your life now for the next 5 days is overcome only by the realization that you haven't bought anyone a present yet or ordered the turkey, which you were supposed to do in November. The doorbell rings and you hear the sounds of laughter and gaiety filtering up from below, reminding you that the in-laws are due today for their annual 5-day stay, and you bury your head deep under the covers and try to imagine none of this is actually happening. You shower and spend 5 minutes cleaning your teeth, and finally brave the kitchen and the meaningful stare of your wife, who looks through you like she understands the depth of your soul, as if you had one. You make small talk with the in-laws and slide out of the kitchen door and race for the car and drive down to Sainsbury's to buy a turkey, but they've sold out. Some corned beef, maybe, or a leg of lamb. How about a few packets of that nice-looking ox tongue? Thankfully, they still have plenty of sprouts and potatoes, any range of green things that look healthy. You buy a huge bagful and think to yourself proudly that you've now cracked Christmas lunch, but when you get home, you realize what a fool you've been. As the ox tongue is binned, and your wife puts local butchers into Google and starts ringing round searching for that elusive last available turkey. But she forgets to specify a distance, and you now find yourself driving to Chelmsford, a round trip of 100 miles to collect the bird. Christmas is, of course, such a great time, and we love to immerse ourselves in the bosoms of our families, relaxing into the misty haze of colored lights, gaily wrapped presents, mince pies, and Christmas TV as we zzzz. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. And if you want to hear multiple stories like this multiple times per week, please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.